Thanks, Vivian. Thank you very much. Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon. Now, before we start the show today, just to mention Vera Toomey and her family. It was very sad to hear of the passing of Ava, little Ava, on Friday. You might remember Ava's story. She had a rare form of epilepsy, and her mother Vera campaigned fiercely to have her granted a medicinal cannabis licence. And as part of her campaign, she walked from her home in Cork up to Dublin, and she did all sorts of things. And we had her on the show a number of times, and she always wanted the best for her little Ava. And she saw, obviously, Ava suffering on a daily basis because she suffered from Dravet syndrome. It's a rare form of epilepsy, and there would have been numerous seizures in one day. And to ease that, Vera was campaigning for medicinal cannabis, which was illegal, and she had to travel elsewhere to get it, and eventually she could get it in her own country. Ava died on Friday, and we're very sad to hear that, and survived by Vera, her mum, and her siblings, Michael, Sophia, Elvira May, and Dad Paul. And we hope they're okay, and we give them a big hug on this Monday afternoon. 51551, ray@rte.ie. And congratulations to Razidat Adeleke. This is a real star of athletics. Broke another record over the weekend. She finished in a stunning time of 49.54 seconds for 400 metres. It was at the NCAA West Regionals in Sacramento, California on Saturday night. She's in the University of Texas, and it's the sixth Irish record of the year for Razidat Adeleke. And that time of 49.54 would have placed her fourth in the Olympics in Tokyo. And it would have been good enough to get her silver at the last World Championship in Oregon in July 2022. And it's the third fastest time in the world. So, as I say, we have a real star on our hands here. And with the Olympic Games coming up, there'll be fingers crossed and everything else crossed. And we wish her well. And she's only 20. She's only 20. The first Irish woman to break 50 seconds. And speaking of stars, we've a star of TikTok coming on today, and we've a star of two stars of furniture making coming on today, all young and all brilliantly talented. I'm looking forward to talking to them. And Connor Pope will be here as well. And today Connor is talking specifically about holiday insurance as well as his problem. We've covered, tipped on, you know, hit on holiday insurance over the last few years, but he's going to spend time now today answering specific questions. Should you get it? Should you not? What's the best type? Should you take it out early on or just before you go? Do you need it at all? All of those questions. And if you have specific questions about holiday insurance, get them into us now, ray@rte.ie, and we'll put them to Connor after 4 o'clock. An email that came in over the weekend to that address. I don't know, I'm not qualified, but I'll throw it out there because I know we have a lot of gardeners listening to the show. Ray, I know that sometimes you might have a gardener on the show. We do. So I'm hoping you might be able to help me. I'm getting married in August and I've decided to grow my own flowers. Look at you, grow my own flowers. Now, I don't need a huge amount. I just need enough for a few jam jars for the steps of the venue and to dot around the place. I'm having a more, let's say, minimalist wedding. Anyway, I bought wildflower seeds a good while ago when they were on sale, but someone told me that they would have been planted back in November. I'm pretty clueless about gardening, and I know, you'll say, what has she grown her own flowers for if she doesn't know anything about it? I wouldn't say that at all. I'd say, well done you for trying. Anyway, but we are where we are. I've successfully grown things in the past, but that was lockdown days, and it was a bit of pot luck or jam jar look or whatever. So my question is, what should I plant now to have nice flowers in August? I would love lavender daisies, both big ones and dainty ones. Something pink, something yellow, something purple. Don't want a lot. Okay, so this is a woman, right, who's getting married in August, which is, what, we're at the end of May here. So it's June, July, maximum, probably 10 weeks' time. And she wants to grow her own flowers. Any suggestions there? She'll get Jerry Daly on the line. He might be able to give us an answer. But if you've done similar type things, if you've grown your own flowers for your own wedding and you want to advise this person, the advice would probably be, don't do it. Maybe not. Anyway, 51551 ray@rte.ie. Another email that came in. Is it even safe to send this email? I've been ducking and diving my way through this internet all morning to try and avoid spoilers for Succession. And the day isn't half over yet. Please, 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 can media outlets stop putting reviews on the homepage of their websites with even a hint of what's going to happen? in the final episode. I've been emotionally invested in this show for 40-odd hours, I was going to say years, of my life, and to have it ruined in headline will be devastating. Most of us need to be on the internet for work and didn't have the luxury of waiting up until 3 o'clock to see it. In one instance, the headline just popped up on Google. Oh my word. Disaster. I've already deleted Twitter and Facebook off my phone. We just need a few more hours, please. Now, for those of you who don't know what that person's talking about, Succession is reaching its finale, its climactic finale tonight. And people who've invested 40 hours of their lives in it, they're very passionate about it and they don't want it to be spoiled. So they're asking that particular person, pleading with media outlets not to put any hint of what happens. For those of you who haven't watched it and don't care about it, that sounds like a sort of a disproportionate response to something. But yeah, a lot of people tonight will be tuning in. Oh, yes. For one last time, one last time. I'm going to tell you what happens now. The whole family get devoured by a dinosaur. No, that doesn't happen. Logan Roy comes out of the shower and says, "Oh, that was all a big dream." No, that doesn't happen. Their brains are taken over by extraterrestrials and aliens run Waystar for the rest of their lives. That doesn't happen either. Anyway, we'll do our best not to reveal anything. I don't know. I couldn't reveal anything anyway. I don't know anything. I do know that Harry Styles has come to Slane. A lot of people are very excited. A lot of people have tickets, or maybe they don't have tickets. Maybe their friends have tickets. But the people who are organising the concert and Tracy Clifford want you to know what to do. Just listen up.
With just days to go, you need to check your tickets. Did you buy a ticket for anyone else? If so, you must transfer their ticket to them now. This is quick and easy to do in your Ticketmaster account, and once sent, remind them to accept their transfer. And here's the most important thing to remember, you must download your ticket to your phone and save it to your wallet. Screenshots or photos of tickets will not be accepted. And remember, if someone else bought the tickets, get them to transfer your ticket to you now. There's info on how to do this on Ticketmaster.ie.
Did you get that? Now, look, to the people concerned, that makes probably absolute sense. Sorry, there was a 1 cent in the middle there. But once sent. O-N-C-E, cent, as opposed to 1 cent. I was a bit confused for a while. But it's important that you know all that stuff and maybe get that and listen to it a few times and transcribe it with AI and hopefully get some person with a PhD in ticket stuff to explain it to you, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And you'll enjoy the concert. It'll be brilliant. We saw him in the Aviva Stadium and it was brilliant. It was one of those concerts. There was a particularly different atmosphere. There was, and people go on about, you know, all inclusive and community and all that sort of thing. And a lot of the time it's just people doing a narrative, doing a spin. But at Harry Styles at the Aviva, I felt it was all inclusive. And there was a sense of a Harry Styles community. And that'll be there at Slane this weekend. Now, in AI news, would you fancy listen to a podcast where Bill Gates meets Socrates? I know, yeah, impossible. With AI, anything is possible.
To be serious, Socrates, artificial intelligence has the potential to revolutionize heuristic education. We can utilize AI to personalize learning, allowing each individual to explore and discover knowledge
really?
In a manner tailored to their own interests and abilities.
As the great philosopher Plato once said, the measure of a man is what he does with power.
I agree.
But Ctesias, do we not risk becoming over-reliant on this AI, losing our own ability to think critically and independently?
Any technology will have potential risks and limitations. You know, in my time, there was a guy who sold phones, but he rarely let his own children use them, which shows that everything has two sides.
Reference to Steve Jobs. Never speak ill of the dead. Now, a couple of things there. We don't know what Socrates sounded like, right? And definitely that I'm guilty of it as well. But that habit of saying "really," that probably wasn't around 400 odd years BC. So Socrates wouldn't have interjected with a "really," you know, because that's a modern thing. And then would Socrates have quoted Plato, because Plato was a student of Socrates? That's another question. But anyway, there you go. I won't be listen to the rest of that. It might be something that'll catch your attention. Kerrygold is Ireland's favourite butter, and it's not far off becoming the favourite in America too. The brand is now the second best-selling butter in the US, having exploded in popularity in recent years. It's no wonder there's nothing quite like its creamy saltiness imported all the way from the Emerald Isle. And that on fresh bread, and you go, no. second best-selling butter in the US. Yeah. Oops. So you have to play a bit of this, don't you, when you mention Kerrygold.
Put a bit of butter on the spuds, Andre.
There's two lads, two French lads over fishing, you see, and they're staying, and then they come back in and there's a bit of a twinkle in his eye and her eye, and she says, put a bit of butter on the spuds, Andre. Love that. 5155 on RayRTE.ie. Ray, this is from Trish. Advise your caller getting married in August to go into Connecting to Nature, a website where she will get all the advice she needs to grow wildflowers. On that site, she can also buy premium quality native Irish wildflower seed, which is produced in Ireland. If she sows seeds soon, it's a bit of a tongue twister, she will have an array of stunning wildflowers which make perfect cut flowers. Wish her all the best in her growing and future married life. Trish. We had Colin Stafford Johnson in on Friday, and he was at pains to point out that if you are getting wildflowers, they should be Irish, they should be native. Thanks for that, Trish. Connectingtonature.ie is the website. For the wedding planner, it's not a wedding planner, it's a wedding person who's getting married, bride-to-be. One plant sure to flower and produce plenty for August is Cosmos, daisy-like flower in colours like white, pink, purple, yellow. Also plan for some evergreen from hedgerows to bulk out arrangements. Good advice from Mags. Somebody says, Ray, I keep falling asleep watching Succession. So complicated to follow every week. I drift off halfway through. Have to rewatch it the next day. You can always pause it, go back and rewind. What did they say there? Oh yeah, and figure it out. Buy plants and put in pretty pots too late to grow your own, says Joy. So there's mixed messages there on growing your own flowers for an August wedding. But keep them coming in. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. Florence and the Machine and her version of You Got the Love. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. What did we watch over the weekend, I hear you ask? Good question. So we just said, well, it's fresh in our minds that we would tell you what we watched and recommend some things or the opposite. Emily P watched Operation Fortune on Amazon Prime. It's an action comedy, new release, directed by Guy Ritchie and starring Jason Statham and Hugh Grant. A team of special agents recruit one of Hollywood's biggest movie stars to help them with an undercover mission on the sale of a top secret AI technology that could threaten the world. Ta-da! Emily says, if you're a fan of the recent Bond movies, you'll definitely love this. Big budget stunts, fancy cars, and that overdramatic orchestra music that you always seem to get in spy movies. That's Operation Fortune. Grace got stuck into Succession recaps on YouTube over the weekend and has been off the internet today to avoid spoilers, because the finale is tonight. Will cousin Greg be the dark horse of the series? She hopes not. Roy's Assemble, it better live up to the hype. Well, it's been great this season, so I think it will. Niamh says, while hanging her head in shame, she watched the newest season of The Kardashians on Disney Plus. Cormac, new to the team, fancied an action movie this weekend, so he watched the John Wick movie. The fourth installment hit our screens earlier this year, and it's clear to see why it has a cult following. It's a movie of very little dialogue, but lots of big and impressive action sequences. That's John Wick. And if you don't want a complex story or word-heavy script, you can check it out on Now TV. And we watched Silo on Apple, which is great. It's based on Hugh Howey books, sort of dystopian world, this huge big silo, and they don't know why they're there, because everything has been erased. No books, no computer records. I'm hooked, Silo. And if you're looking for a bit of a laugh, Platonic with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne. I think that's on Apple as well, and it's funny, and it's half hour, and it's escapism. It's a bit of a distraction. So Silo and Platonic. So they're the ones we recommend on this Monday afternoon. Now, we are looking for two people to come on and take part in our Who Done It quiz. Two quizzers, three whodunit questions on music, sport, TV, books, politics, film and comedians. Like all whodunits, there will be clues. So if you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points. And there is a prize. And it's a two-night for two adults sharing in a four-star hotel in the Ainua Collection. Summer starts here with a breakaway in one of the Ainua Collection's gorgeous four-star hotels, Kilkenny's chic Hibernian Hotel. The Dublin One, taste the magic of the Tullamore Court Hotel, relax in the Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, the Fairways in Dundalk, or any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. There is something for everyone to enjoy, from overnight getaways and spa treatments to elegant afternoon tea or a delicious meal in one of the many restaurants across the Ainua Collection. That's inua.ie. inua.ie. Okay, here's your qualifying question on this Monday afternoon, this very sunny Monday afternoon. What TV show aired its finale last night in America? Succession or Possession? Succession or Possession? 0818715925. That's 0818715925. Good luck at that.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, a video caught our eye last week. It's of a six-year-old in a recording studio with his dad singing a song called Casper. It's been viewed millions and millions and millions of times, and it emanated from Greg Namana in Kilkenny. The dad is Robert Grace and the six-year-old is his son, Lincoln. And Robert is in studio. Lincoln couldn't make the trip. How are you doing, Robert?
Not too bad. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, great to see you.
Yeah, delighted to be up.
Yeah, Greg Namana, is that where you were born and bred?
Yeah, yeah, the whole lot, yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the country, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got. I mean, when you live there your whole life, you kind of forget how beautiful it is, you know, but it is, it's a gorgeous part.
And you have the canal, and that meets what river then?
I'm the wrong...
What?
I'm the wrong person.
No, he doesn't know. He's lived there all his life. He doesn't
I know the Barrow. I know it's the Barrow.
The Barrow, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a canal and there's the river. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go out then to what's the name of the place out the with St. Mullins.
St. Mullins, yeah.
St. Mullins,
it's
yeah, yeah. That's about 10k out the road. Out
even less, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. It's close enough now. Yeah,
close
yeah.
enough, right. Mm. So you're going to bomb on TikTok.
Yeah, well, you know, trying to keep up with everything that's going on and trying to think of like the next move. And yeah, it's going well, thankfully.
So this little video of you and Lincoln recording Casper, how many times has it been watched now?
It's nearly at 30 million views now on TikTok. I think it's like 28, nearly 29 million at
right.
the moment.
So that's six times the population of Ireland.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Impressive.
It's mental, yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. crazy. I mean, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
When I uploaded it, but it just absolutely took off. I think I woke up the next day, it was on like 3.5 million, and I thought that was unbelievable. And then as it just, I think in a week it had like, it was like 20 million in the week.
Right.
It was crazy.
And you can't argue with that, those sort of figures, can you?
No.
That's real viral.
Yeah, that's it. Like that was like my first, that's my most viewed video now that I've ever had. And it was I've gotten like millions of views before, but never anything that quick and never anything to that scale. So like, you know, I think the most I've gotten before was maybe 9 million, you know, 9.5 million.
Let's find out a little bit about you then. So you have Lincoln and you have a daughter as well.
Yeah, Bonnie.
Bonnie, what age is Bonnie?
Bonnie's 2.
Right.
Yeah.
So is it Lincoln Grace and Bonnie Grace?
Yeah.
Wow, they're tough names to grow up with, aren't they? Because yeah. Lincoln Grace, he'll have to be a movie star or something.
Yeah,
or
when we were trying to think of a name for him, I don't know. I used to watch this show on YouTube called Good Mythical Morning, and there was two guys who presented called Rhett and Link, and I thought Link was just your man's nickname, you know. But then I found out his name was Lincoln, and I thought that was really cool that his like he could call him Link.
Link, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought it was a really cool name, and so that's kind of where we
Lincoln Grace and Bonnie Grace, yeah. And Lincoln is 6, and you've been recording and you've had a number of hits. I was on your Spotify page, so millions and millions of streams. The breakthrough song was about the pandemic.
Yeah.
And about your mental health. What was it called?
Fake Fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Fake Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's a good name.
Yeah, I mean, again, I like I'm weird with names, when I kind of whatever I call it, usually when I record a demo is usually the name that sticks.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I get used to it too quickly, so I don't like to change it. So that was the kind of name the first time I recorded the demo, or I think it was just a bit of the first verse.
It says so much though in two words.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think it describes describes the song. You know, that's exactly it.
But
you know?
Did it describe you?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I mean 100%. Yeah, and I think especially with that time, it connected with so many.
People,
and that's why it did so well, is because everyone was kind of feeling a very similar way.
Yeah. So tell us about, you know, you were putting out a facade, a face to the world, but inside you were feeling quite different.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first song that I ever wrote that was, you know, came from a very personal place. Like, it was about me. It wasn't just a story. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I was kind of scared about putting it out. I remember the first time I played it for my parents, I was like, look, I'm okay. Just before I play this for you, like, everything is okay, you know, because when I did write it, like, I was in a bad place, and, like, it took me a long time to kind of, you know, get over it. And I still, like, you know, you have your ups and downs. I think as an artist in general, you're going to have really high highs and really low lows, you know. So at the time when I wrote it, I was in a, you know, a very low place, and, like, I was very close to kind of giving up doing music. I've been at it, like, I mean, over 10 years, you know, and it's only in the last 3 or 4 that I'd actually... paid off, you know.
Yeah, some people do it a lifetime and it never pays
off.
No,
of course. Of course. I think I was just at the point where, like, I had one kid at the time, and just, like, it was just a struggle to, like, pay for everything. Like, you know, for money for anything, you know. You're either choosing to pay for food or pay for electricity or pay a phone bill. So I was getting to the point where I didn't know what else I would do, though. So that's why I kept kind of pushing, because I was like, I literally gave my whole life until now to music, so I don't have any, like, hobby. It is my hobby, like, right. It's also my work, so yeah. I just, thankfully, it ended just when I was about to give up, it kind of worked out. So
huge pressure then, because now, like, up until whatever age, what I'm 24, there was just you to worry about.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you could live at home and do whatever, you tinkle away and record and all that. And then Lincoln arrives and you're responsible for this human being.
Yeah.
And you have to provide for that human being.
Yeah, that's
big pressure.
Yeah, definitely. But he also kind of put a kind of fire under me as well, because I think I wasn't probably doing great really before he came along either. And when he did come along, it really kind of put stuff in perspective. And, like, it's probably the hardest I've worked since he was born, you know, and the most, like, the hardest I've worked because of that, like, because I was like, I need to try and make this work for him. And I think it just got to a point where I was like, I don't know, I was like, am I actually good enough? Maybe I'm not good enough. Like, maybe, like, I'm what I think I am is not true, you know what I mean? Like, because I did have a lot of confidence in myself when I was younger, you know, and when I used to get really excited about every little thing, like, just getting, you know, any kind of, like, my first play on the radio, I remember that, and I think it was just in Kilkenny or something on KCLR, and I remember just that was huge for me, do you know what I mean? And I was so excited about it, and even playing little, like, gigs in places, like, you know, I was super excited about it, and then that just kind of went away over time. And when you kind of realize, I suppose when you're younger, you think, like, I'll come out of school and I'm just going to be famous, like, you know, it's just gonna work out, you know. And then you realize that it's just really not that easy at all.
Did your dad slag you and say you're going to be famous?
Yeah, my father used to tell me all the time when I was younger that you know, I was going to be famous, and, like, oh, when you're famous now, you can, you know, you can buy me this house here or something. Like, as you know, I'm messing, but, like, there was a point then when I actually believed it, you know, and I'd be saying, yeah, when I'm famous now, I'll get you know, I'll do this.
Yeah.
And I think that was good. That was a great thing for me, though, because it I honestly did believe it for a long time.
Mm.
You know, and it's only when things got really tough, it just started to kind of slip away.
And fake fine, and you say it resonated with a lot of people and it struck home, because that's what we do as humans, don't we? We sort of put on this facade, and it's dangerous enough, because you're going around and that takes energy, doesn't it? And then you're suffering inside, and you could be using that energy to get well instead of putting on this
exactly.
fake face.
Yeah, that's it. And I think, like, as Irish people as well, we just have this thing of, like, I'm grand.
Grand.
Yeah,
I'm,
you know,
grand, yeah.
No matter what's going on, you could be absolutely dying inside. Yeah, and, you know, you're just like, no, I'm grand, I'm fine, you know, so... Yeah.
So was the song, was it a cry for help, or...?
It was more, I think, when I wrote it and after I released it and saw so many people, like, the messages I got from people was, I mean, insane, saying how much it helped them, and, like, they didn't, you know, they didn't realise there were other people out there that kind of felt the same. I think the biggest thing was that, for me anyway, I felt kind of alone, you know what I mean? And it's hard to kind of think about other people feeling the same way as you, and... After kind of getting so many messages from people, like, I made them feel like they weren't alone, and they also made me feel like I wasn't alone. So, it really kind of, it was like therapy for me, like, writing the song and then releasing it, because it kind of made me, I didn't really think about it too much, like, what was actually wrong with me. I just was, you know, I don't know what was wrong, if I was just living in, like, a cloud or something, but I wasn't really looking at what was wrong. I was just not doing well. You know what I mean? I wasn't reflecting on what was wrong.
Okay. So you didn't feel like fulfilled, or you didn't...
Yeah.
Did you feel connected, or did you feel disconnected?
I felt disconnected, I think. And I was kind of just going along with what was happening in my life for a little while without really...
The word they use now is without being present.
Yeah, that's it. That was my problem. And then after I did this song, it kind of made me realise, like, okay, there is actually something here I need to address. Whereas I don't know what, like, I felt like I was on the way down but didn't necessarily realise it too much. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the song coming out and doing so well, and then me realising that that's the type of music I need to be doing for not just
personal
for other people,
stuff,
but for me
yourself,
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Just made me realise, okay, I need to kind of look after myself a bit better, you know?
Yeah. So I suppose on the back of the success of Fake Fine, you decided I'm going to give this music thing a go.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was so funny.
So do you make money out of TikTok?
No, not in Ireland.
No,
I don't. There's
because I was on your TikTok account and, like, regularly, you know, hundreds of thousands of views.
Yeah.
Some in the millions.
Yeah, it's mad because they don't have, like, there's a thing called Creator Fund.
Right.
That TikTok have, but they don't, it's not in Ireland yet. So it's in England, like America. And
how do you feel about TikTok, a company which earns billions of dollars on the back of people like you?
I mean, it's a weird one because I wouldn't be doing as well without TikTok, you know? So like, as in, like, the way the music industry is kind of gone at the moment.
But they
is
wouldn't
like,
exist without people like you.
No, that's very true. I do wish they had the Creator Fund, put it that way. I wish I could make money from TikTok.
Yes. Because your stuff is very clever. Like, I was watching today and you played one of your songs to your piano teacher who never heard you sing before.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a lovely moment because he's sitting at the piano stool, and I think it's a piano in your studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just playing it to him. And he's sitting there realising that this guy who he taught piano to is actually quite good, if not very good. And there's a lovely moment there.
Yeah.
And then he starts playing the piano along with the song. I don't know if it's real or whatever, it worked for me anyway.
Yeah, like it's mad because I suppose you have to think of ideas that, like, what would get people and watch the video.
So what would you wish for then? You say this, what, the Creators Fund? Do they have it in other countries?
Yeah, they have it in other countries, yeah.
Right, okay.
So it's just not in Ireland yet. But I mean, at the same time, I'm thankful that I'm able to... that, like, it worked out for me because there's so many people at the moment trying to do stuff on TikTok, trying to get a following, and I'm lucky that I have that at least.
Yeah, but at some stage it has to start.
No, of course. Like, I mean, that's the only thing I'd say. Like, if I could make money from TikTok, I'd be laughing. You know what I mean? Because that video would have made me a good bit of money.
I think it's unfair. That's my feeling. Is it's unfair? Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't necessarily know. Maybe they're working on it. I don't know. See, I'm not sure if there's something that...
The pipeline or whatever. Yeah.
I'd imagine it will be in. It's just not in here yet. Like, Ireland is always seems to be the kind of last place the things come to sometimes, you know?
So you're making them and you work with guys in Berlin. They're producers and you're all working together. And you're self-taught when it comes to the studio stuff.
Yeah. Just, I went to college and, like, learned the very basics on how to use, like, Logic is what I use on a Mac. And I just spent, like, every day just... you know, messing around with it until I got better and better and better. So.
Okay. So Casper, then, talk us through this and how Link and your six-year-old got involved.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, so he had heard the song loads of times and he was singing it around the house. And we got talking one day. I don't know if it was about the fact that I used to sing in pubs and stuff with my dad. I used to sing in pubs by myself as well. I used to sing with my brother. You know, just to make...
So it's a musical family. Your dad was in a trad group.
Yeah, yeah.
Your brother was in... some iteration of Codeline or...
He was in a Scuba Dice who were... They were on Eurostar at the same time that Codeline...
Oh, same
Codeline.
Time as Codeline. Yeah.
So, like, I grew up with that. My mom is a really good singer, so is my sister. Right. So we're all a bit musical.
Steeped in it. Yeah.
And...
So Lincoln was hearing you sing Casper.
Yeah, and he asked me one day, when he's older, could he sing with me in the pub or something like this? Yeah, and I was like, I was like, you could come down with me to the studio one day and we can... sing. And I was like, you can sing Casper if you want, because it's in his kind of range and he sings it anyway, you know. Right. And there was one day then after school he asked, could he come down? I didn't know, because I'd never recorded him, like, never done anything with him properly, so I didn't know if he actually would do it, if he just wanted to come down and mess about or whatever. And, like, literally just clicked record and straight, like, he got the timing because it comes straight in and it was like a click, like, and he just came in straight away. And I was just, like, super surprised that he knew right. when to come in yeah, and yeah. when to start singing, and sang it so well.
And he's his father's son.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's so funny as well. He's such a character, and I think that was the reason the video did so well.
So this is the audio of the video, so you'll have to strain your ears a little bit, but this is Robert with his 6-year-old son Lincoln, and this is the beginnings of Casper.
Okay. Johnny Sexton is the best player.
Ready?
My friends are called me Casper because I ghost them all the time.
Lincoln, good job. That's really good. We're going to do a few of them, okay?
Okay, just two more.
Maybe two more.
John, see ya.
Ready, 3, 2, 1.
My friends are calling me Casper because I ghost them all the time. But was that good?
That was really good.
Okay, can I go back home?
No. Do one more, okay?
Yeah!
My friends are calling me Casper because I ghost them all the time. My skin's like alabaster because the sun don't ever shine on me. I wanna be lonely.
Now, I hope he has a good solicitor stroke lawyer, because he's going to want a chunk of the royalties from that.
Yeah, he's... what he wanted in return was he plays Minecraft. He wanted to buy these worlds on Minecraft, and I was like, okay, well, that can be your
payment.
Your payment.
So he's a big fan of John Cena and a big fan of Johnny Sexton.
Yeah, yeah. It's
the two Johns.
The two Johns, yeah. Yeah, he was funny. He's a funny man.
Yeah, well, that sounds brilliant. Will you say congrats to Robert from All in Dlinsk? Robert was the last winner of the Dlinsk.
Oh, yeah.
We have you there. What year was that?
Oh God, I don't know. I'm going to say like 2010 or something. I'm not too sure. I can't remember. But yeah, I remember it was the last time that competition was on.
Yeah, it used to be called the 2FM. What, young? Okay, hang on. Yeah, okay. Sound quality isn't great on that, is it? Probably not exactly in Robert's target market, being a 40-year-old man. I first heard Fake Fine on radio. As someone who has suffered with mental health issues my whole life, I don't think I've ever heard depression described so well in any form. Hats off to Robert. That's Cormac in Dublin.
Ah, thank you
it's
very
nice
much.
It's nice to hear that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So what's the ambition then? From Greg Namana to where? Carnegie Hall. That's a nice ring to it.
Like, I just want to, I mean, make a decent living doing something that I love, and I don't need millions would be nice, you know what I mean? I wouldn't mind making millions, but like, and just enough to have a good life for me and my family, and just keep doing music and enjoy it is the kind of main thing. That's all I want.
Yeah. And who would you look up to?
Would
somebody like Ed Sheeran, would he inspire you?
Oh yeah, 100%.
What he's done and how he's done it. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, 100%. There's like Ed Sheeran is kind of, I mean, like he's at the peak, isn't he? He's the kind of the highest level, I think, you can go.
The documentary is great. You should watch it.
I didn't actually watch it yet.
It's very good. It's very good. I'm sort of contractually obliged to ask this question of everybody who comes in who can sing a song. Would you consider representing Ireland in the Eurovision Song Contest? See, I even put on my current affairs voice to ask that question. Yeah.
I mean, I'd never say never. You know, as Justin Bieber would say. You know. I mean, you never know what could happen. That's all. You know. I mean, I wouldn't say no. Right now, I probably wouldn't do it, but down the line, who knows?
Yeah. Well, just looking at you and immersing myself in your TikTok stuff today, I think you'd be perfect.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I had the right song, because I think that's the thing. That's super important, is to have the right song.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And would you be interested in doing a collaboration?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Robert Grace featuring Lyra, or Lyra featuring Robert Grace, or something like that.
Yeah. Who knows? That could be a
winner, couldn't it?
Yeah.
With the right song.
With the right song, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It started here.
If it happens now.
If it happens, yeah. And how are you? How are you doing?
Right now, I'm doing well, thankfully.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I go through ups and downs. I think it's just like TikTok is like, because this is after doing well now, I'm delighted, because I really felt like I needed this song to do well. You know what I mean? And not just to do with TikTok, but just myself, that like there was so much pressure coming up to this release that I was like, I felt so much, I was putting so much pressure on myself as well, that I just needed this to do well. And like, I couldn't have got a better start. Like, even, you know.
But you'll have to sort that out, though. Oh, I know. Once you're over it, because you can't. No, that's you can't it. Depend on that
no,
affirmation
you can't.
From TikTok every time.
No,
you're
no,
down,
exactly.
You know,
like, and not even to do it, but like, I really had a lot of pressure on myself. That's the thing is, like, right now I'm not too bad, but leading up to this now, I was getting pretty like ropey. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just felt like I really needed this to work out. And thankfully it did. And like it's, you know, I do know at the same time that it's not healthy to be putting that pressure on yourself, you know what I mean? And it's like, I know all these things, but it doesn't stop it from happening sometimes, you know what I mean?
No, but it's a start.
Yeah,
knowing is a start.
Acknowledging it.
Yes,
is
a start.
Yeah,
right.
100%.
So if you need any contacts for Michael Keely, who's the head of delegation for the Eurovision, give us a shout.
Will do.
Lyra, she was in last week. We can put you in contact and all that sort of thing.
Sounds good.
Tell Lincoln he's doing a great job.
He's probably listening, actually.
Is he? Right. How are you, Lincoln? How are you doing?
Actually, I meant to say, my dad listens to your show every
day
on the way home. Actually,
right.
He loves your show.
Right,
so.
what's
Bob is his name.
All right, Bob Grace.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob. Great. just while we're here. Robert, great to meet you. And I'm sure we'll chat again. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
You might remember back in 2020, we got an email from Dr. Niamh Lynch in a children's hospital in Cork. And she was looking for a specific type of Christmas tree, one that wouldn't sort of harbour, I suppose, bugs, and in particular COVID-19. Anyway, we put out the call and there was various suggestions about things, and then a guy called Jerry got onto us, and then Jerry put us in touch with Paul Leamy. Paul Leamy sitting in front of us now, and Paul at the time was in GMIT in Letterfrack. It's now called the Atlantic Technical University, ATU, and he's here with two of his students, Neil and Isabel. Good afternoon to you all.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Hello, Ray. Thanks for having us. Thank you.
There you go. Right. Can we get the story with the tree out of the way, Isabel and Neil, if you don't mind? Okay, just so bring us back to 2020 then, Paul.
So one of our graduates, Jerry, was listening to yourself on the radio, and Dr. Niamh had called in to say that she needed a wipe-downable tree to go into the children's ward in the Bon Secours in Cork. And he contacted ourselves to say, could we help out? And we said we certainly could. So we manufactured a lovely wooden Christmas tree, which had a really nice finish on it, which was wipe downable. And then it was transported down to Cork and put up in the children's ward. And they were very gracious. And it was christened Abby's tree, after Abby, who was a patient in the ward down there. And it was just a lovely story. And they were very gracious to have the Christmas tree at the time.
And Abby was a big fan of butterflies.
Correct, indeed.
And he very generously made a wooden butterfly as well for the tree.
And engraved it with Abby's name on it and sent it down as well. So the tree is called Abby's Tree.
And they have it in storage and it comes out
every
Christmas.
Year,
which is lovely.
It is, it's
a lovely
fantastic
thing. So when did the name change from GMIT Letterfrack to Atlantic Technical University?
So Atlantic Technological University.
Sorry, Technological,
yes,
right.
Absolutely. So on the 1st of April last year, when you were talking to us the last time, we were the Galway Mayo Institute of Technology, and we have now amalgamated with Sligo Institute of Technology and Letterkenny Institute of Technology, and we are the Atlantic Technological University. So we're covering the whole northwest coast, an area larger than the size of Wales. So we cover quite.
But you're based in Letterfrack.
Yes, we
have. And you make furniture.
We do indeed.
And you teach people how to make furniture.
Among other things.
Yes. Among other things, yes. But the two people in front of me are people who make furniture.
Absolutely.
Isabel and Neil. So we'll find out a little bit about G2. Neil first. So you are a regular student as opposed to Isabel, who's a mature student. Is that correct?
I've just finished 4 years there.
Four years
done now.
Right.
As of last week.
What happens next?
I'm starting a master's in September, design innovation. After that, I'm thinking of getting a bit of work experience abroad, maybe Eindhoven or Copenhagen, with the overall plan to come back and set something up in Ireland,
Making furniture. Yeah, and with an eye on sustainability.
Eye on sustainability, very much so, yeah.
Yeah. And Isabel, you're a mature student, not that mature. It's over 23, isn't it?
It's over 23, right?
Exactly. That's the definition.
That's it,
yes,
that's it. 100%.
Yeah. This is a niche you had to scratch, was it?
It was indeed, yeah. I was just talking to your lovely researcher, Emily, earlier on. And I suppose after school, I went and I studied fine art in Cork. And I loved it. But I suppose I probably knew it wasn't for me, and I always had Letterfrack in the background. It was always there. And then COVID came along, the bowel COVID. The plans went off the rails for a minute, but I said just last year that was the time, and delighted to have applied and gotten in.
But you have a background.
I do.
So who had the sawmill?
So my uncle actually is fourth generation.
Wow.
He's now kind of more or less passing it off to his son, who's fifth generation. So that's Inch
Sawmills. Your cousin?
My cousin.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's all on my mum's side of the family then. Yeah.
Right.
So he's running it now. It's Inch Sawmills on the Sign Road in Kilkenny. And I suppose like we grew up there as well with my cousins. We were always just climbing over the timber and it was just a magical place to grow up. And I've always kind of had
Is there a granduncle or an uncle?
Was, yeah, up in Harland Wolf. I think it would have been a great granduncle. He worked up in the shipyards as well, so he was kind of a master craftsman as well. So
right, okay.
I suppose it's always been in the genes, as they say, you know yourself, yeah.
And what's your ambition? You brought in a table you made.
I did, so that's the maple table there.
Behind
you, Ray, that's the one.
That
was the second project of the year now. We learned loads, no more than any of the other projects from the year. And I have to give a special shout out to our lecturer, Sean Garvey, Patience of a Saint now.
That's a beautiful piece. Is that what you say, Paul?
Indeed, absolutely.
It's a beautiful, I love it. I really like it. And you put it outside. When I walked down, it was there in front of our lovely couch, which I think was taken out of a minibus or something like that. Anyway, but it was there and it suited it perfectly. So if you want to leave it behind.
Ray, I was going to say, was it made for the place? But you know yourself.
So predominantly men, is it? Paul?
Yeah, we would have a lot of male students, but thankfully we've seen a real uptake in female students coming to the college. And last year we had about 20% of our first years were female, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant. Mm-hmm. And that's going to go up and up. So Trees to Treasures, and that's an exhibition in Farmley Gallery. It's going to run until the 27th of August and it's free. So it's all summer. So if you're up in Phoenix Park or around, what will people see there?
Well, they will see the amazing work that our students produce, as well as some work from our staff and also some from our graduates as well. So it officially opened just on the 18th of May. And as you said, it's running until the end of the summer, the 27th of August. There's been a fantastic response to it so far. It's very, very visual. You walk in, you can see all the pieces, all the wood and the variety of, you know, amazing design and finish and textures and everything like that. So we've had a really positive response to it so far. So,
okay.
You know, we'd encourage people that if they're coming up or near Dublin, as you said, it's free to pop out, have a look. And, you know, especially people coming to Bloom next weekend, they're going to be right beside the wonderful Farmley Gallery and a real opportunity to just walk across the garden.
Is it Chesterfield Avenue? Just go right up to the top of Chesterfield Avenue and turn left and that's where Farmley is.
Indeed, yes,
so if
absolutely.
You're in at Bloom.
Yeah.
So this is maple.
That's maple.
Yeah, right. And
indeed.
Do we use a lot of native trees?
Well, we have recently, in the last few years, we've really started to move to maple or to native trees.
Yeah.
The process of turning a log into planks of timber that we can make furniture out is relatively scientific. You'd have to cut it layman's terms, into slices of timber. You have to let all the moisture come out of it, and that process can take 1 to 2 years.
Right.
So thankfully, we have that ability now. So we love hearing about
in the
storms.
College.
Yeah, right. We love hearing about storms.
So you go and collect the trees and bring them home.
Go and collect the trees
before you know it's a table.
And absolutely.
I just wanted to talk to Neil a bit because your eye is on sustainability, and I just grabbed one of your coffee tables, which are amazing things. So talk us through that. There,
cheers, Ray. Yeah. So they're a set of fully recyclable end tables.
So no wood involved here.
No wood. Wood. So they're. So it's three materials, linoleum, cotton thread and glass, and they're assembled without the use of adhesives to allow the ease of separation of the materials at the end of the product's life.
Which makes it recyclable.
A far more circular, circular economy,
circular
eco-design.
Circular economy, that's... Yeah.
Better for the environment.
Right, okay. They're genius in its simplicity.
Cheers, thank you. Yeah. A lot of prototyping, a lot of time and effort went into
and it's perfect just at the end of we were just talking outside, the end of the sofa, when you have the cup of coffee, sitting down reading the papers, and whoever's in charge of the cleaning in the house is shouting at you, don't put that coffee on the arm of the settee. And said, there you go. I've one of Neil's recyclable things there. I can put it on. Perfect. Yeah.
Hand sewn, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And great colours as well. So great colours. And the linoleum, is that you have to buy that. That's not recycled, is it?
That's so it's offcuts of the, the byproduct of the flooring industry, yeah. Uh-huh. So I'm from experiments with it. I've experimented with the, I utilise the structural properties and the flexibility properties inherent in the material. So that led me to the design, yeah.
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing to create something with your hands. I'm really jealous. Look at Isabel smiling like a Cheshire cat there.
I know that, don't you?
But fine art, you're still creating something. But furniture more, it's three-dimensional, isn't it?
It is.
And it's functional.
That's it. That's kind of what was kind of at the forefront for me. I always wanted to make something that was functional.
Yes.
But you know that you could design yourself as well. And, you know, it's like I was just saying to the guys, what I've learned this year so far. I'm only in my first year. I've just finished it up. It's just incredible. Like, and 3 more years to go. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited for what's to come.
Yeah. So where will we see this, you know, when you eventually go out and make stuff on your own? Where does it end up? I know in furniture shops, so what type of furniture shops? Are there enough furniture shops in Ireland that provide an outlet for this sort of stuff?
There is. There's a great, I suppose, support and kind of interest in people who can, you know, make high quality furniture designs and produce them and things like that. So, and I suppose we're very lucky in that, you know, especially, you know, Neil and his class, all the students who are graduating at the moment, there's 100% employment.
Yeah.
We have more companies knocking on our door for graduates than we have graduates available. Ah. So, you know, the future is really, really bright for all the students.
And if you're sort of interested in what they do over in the Atlantic Technological University in Letterfrack, Trees to Treasures exhibition is in Farmley Gallery and it's going to run until the end of August. OK, what do you think of IKEA? All right, okay. Right, thanks very much for coming in. Neil, Isabel and Paul, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gramaga Court, thank you very much. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Noel Zbilani says, Ray, that listener who's trying not to find out about the last episode of Succession reminds me of the episode of Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads, where the lads went to extraordinary lengths not to catch the result of an away England international soccer match so they could enjoy the highlights that night. They eventually sat down that night with Newcastle Brown Ale in hand to hear the TV announcer say, and now, as a replacement to the England international soccer match, which was called off earlier due to a waterlogged pitch. That's very funny. Of course, back when that was on, there was no internet and no TikTok and Twitter and Facebook and WhatsApp and whatever you have in yourself. Anyway, I'm sure the person will survive until they watch Succession tonight without it being spoiled for them. We play a bit of that. Great theme tune. Okay, we've two quizzers standing by. Two quizzers and there is a prize this week. We say thank you very much to the people at the I Knew It Collection. They have a collection of gorgeous 4-star hotels. Kilkenny Chic Hibernian Hotel, Dublin One Hotel, the Tullamore Court Hotel in Tullamore, the Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, the Fairways in Dundalk, and any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. There is something for everyone. inua.ie, that's inua.ie. Hello, Sheila O'Keefe in County Wicklow.
Hello, Ray.
How are you? I'm good. Great. Whereabouts in Wicklow are you?
A little place called Cool Boy near Tinnaheely.
Oh, right.
South Wicklow.
Yeah, yeah, right. You're sort of nearly in Carlow.
Yeah, borders of Wexford, actually.
Right. Cool Boy.
Yeah, Wexford or Carlow.
Yeah. And you're in the garden county doing some gardening.
Yeah, out in the garden.
Right. What did you do today now?
Oh, I just pulled lots of weeds and in and out, you know, just trying not to be in the sun for too long.
Little feckers, those weeds.
But I know.
Here's the thing about gardening. It's hard to make it look as if you've done anything.
Yeah. Everyone is into biodiversity as well. So we have patches here and there where we just leave.
Yes. All right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, sure.
So the definition of a weed is a flower in the wrong place.
Well, this is it.
You should remember that. When somebody
Guilty
says,
in the eye, is in the eye of the beholder, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. Yeah. So what did you get up to over the weekend?
I actually was in Tipperary. I'm from Tipperary and I have family down there, so I go up and down a lot.
Right.
So,
okay, and your husband is Michael, and a lot of information here. You met in London.
Yeah, we did. We met in London. So then when our kids were small, we decided to come back to Ireland before they started school.
Aha.
And we're back since 1996.
Okay, so they're reared and gone, are they?
Oh, yeah, they're all grown up and they've all flown the nest.
Yeah. And you've time to go to Tipperary, do a bit of gardening, sit in the sun or the shade, whatever
well,
you're doing.
Well, this is it. A lot of sitting in the sun today as well, I have to say.
Yeah, it's lovely out there. It's lovely.
Yeah.
You're up against Mary O'Shea. And Mary is in Kilkenny. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm good. Glorious day here.
Yes. It usually gets some of the top temperatures, Kilkenny.
It does, thank God.
Yeah. Whereabouts are you in Kilkenny?
I'm actually sitting outside St. Kieran's College School waiting to collect a grandchild.
Aha. And is that Kilkenny City?
It is, yeah.
Aha. And what's he up to?
Oh, he's only in second year. They'll be getting their holidays now next Friday.
Oh, yeah. He could be doing the school exams, is he? This
That's all this week, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's 14 and you're in charge of him today.
I am.
Right. And do you have to feed him now as well?
Oh, feed him and homework and everything, yeah.
The whole lot. All right. Jeez, you're great, aren't you?
Oh, sure. Look, I have seven of them, so I'm busy.
Seven grandchildren, right. Okay.
I do.
And they're all local enough, are they?
They are, yeah.
Right. All in the one family or different families? Too many questions?
No, I have two daughters and a son and their kids.
Aha, rightio.
You know, so.
And some of them are going to Harry Styles this weekend.
Oh, great. Better.
Yeah. Just make sure they know about the tickets, that they have the tickets, belong to somebody else, they have to download that. And if they don't download that, you know, that's very important.
Yeah, Mammy would be very with the cheater park and then all booked at this stage.
Great. Okay. Now, You know the deal. Three questions each. We give you the category, and then we ask you if you want a clue or not. If you go for a clue and you get it right, you get a point. Somebody's making the dinner in the background, and if you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points. And whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. And if they're drawing points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both, Sheila and Mary. Here we go.
Good luck, Mary.
Best of luck, Sheila. Thank you.
Okay, Sheila. The first category is music.
Yeah.
Do you want a clue or not?
No clue, Ray.
No clue for 2 points.
No clue. Yeah.
Sheila in Wicklow, who is this? Who's that?
Is it ELO?
No.
No.
It's not a yellow, it's Christa Berg.
Christa Berg.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a big hit from High on Emotion, 1984.
High on Emotion.
Early days.
Okay.
Mary, so music, do you want a clue or not?
Yes, I can take a clue now.
You can take a clue now, okay. Here it is. He sang about being alone again naturally. Who is this for 1 point?
Than proof, nothing wilder than you, nothing older than time, nothing sweeter than wine, nothing physically, recklessly, hopelessly blind, nothing I couldn't say, nothing why I crossed today, nothing right.
Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Gilbert O'Sullivan is correct. Nothing Ryan from 1970. You get a point for that. Okay.
Thank you.
Sheila, Bernie has been on from the Knoll or Knoll. Lovely to hear Sheila on the radio. Best of luck, Bernie.
All right.
Do you know Bernie,
Bernie
up there? Yeah,
I do. I worked for her in London as a midwife.
Did you? There you go. Right, look at you.
Anyway.
I love national radio in Ireland because it's like local radio, you know. How are you doing, Bernie out and all there? Great. Now, second question. It's a pity she can't help you out on these. Best actresses. Best actresses.
Best actresses.
As in, you know, they won an Oscar for best actress.
No clue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Who is this? And she would have won an Oscar for Best Actress for 2 points. Here we go.
To E.M. Forster for creating Margaret Schlegel. To James Ivory for asking me to play her. To Ismail Merchant for paying me to play her. Which feels very unnecessary at this moment. Actually, I think I might have to give back the money. I would like, if I may, to dedicate this Oscar to the heroism and the courage of women.
No.
It's
Emma Thompson. Emma Thompson.
Oh, Emma Thompson. All right. Oh, God, I'm bad today.
Yeah,
very bad
yeah,
today.
Yeah. She won Best Actress Oscar in 1993 for Howard's End. There you go. Right. Okay. Now, Mary, you're on one. And just to let you know that Harry Styles isn't this weekend, so don't send the granddaughter.
Okay.
It's the weekend after, just in case. They'll be up and slaying in a field on their own. singing watermelon sugar to each other. Okay, so best actresses, do you want a clue or not, Mary?
Oh, I'll take a clue, please.
Yeah, strategic, very good. Okay, there's no clue here, so no. So I tell you what, Gloopy Gloop. Okay. Goopy Goop is the clue. Who is this for 1 point?
I would not have been able to play this role had I not understood love of a tremendous magnitude, and for that I thank my family, my mother, Blythe Danner, who I love more than anything, and especially to my father. I love you more than anything in the world.
So Goopy Goop is the clue. No idea.
No.
No.
No. Sorry.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Her company, which she makes an awful lot of money out of, selling candles and various things, is called Goop. That was the clue there. Okay, you're on one, Mary. Sheila, you have yet to score. So you probably have to go without a clue here. It's Rock and Rollers.
Yeah.
Rock and Rollers.
Rock and Rollers. Okay.
Yes. So you're going to go without a clue?
Without a clue. Great.
Without a clue. Okay.
Yeah.
For 2 points to keep you in the game. Who is this?
I got a lot of weird people at my concerts, like, you know, it's kind of rock and roll, you know. And somebody threw a bat on stage, and I thought it was one of these toy bats. So I picked it up, bite the thing's head off, and suddenly everybody's freaking out because it's a real bat. I can assure you the rabies shots that I went through afterwards aren't fun.
Who's
is
that?
Is this Paul McCartney?
No. Paul McCartney has never bitten a bat on stage. Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne.
From Black Sabbath. Okay.
They didn't suit me today.
They
Ray.
Definitely did not suit you today, Sheila. Definitely didn't. maybe the sun's gone to your head. Isn't that what happens sometimes?
Yeah,
I use that excuse a lot. Okay, we're going to send you out a Ray D'Arcy Show Keep Cup. Well done, Sheila.
Thanks.
Lovely talking
Thanks
to you. Mind yourself.
Ray.
Bye now.
Bye.
Mary O'Shea, you're today's winner.
On one.
Yeah, I know.
It must be a record.
I think we probably happened once before. But it's pretty unusual. Let's say it's pretty unusual.
Brilliant.
Now, you, with a person of your choice, are off to one of the 4-star Ainua hotels. They're all over the country. Kilkenny, Tullamore, Monaghan, Dundalk, Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. And you can choose whichever one you want. Ainua.ie, Ainua.ie.
Nice? I don't think it'll be Kilkenny, but sure, look at that.
No, you're right. Great talking to you, Mary. Mind yourself.
Listen,
see you
lovely. Now. Thank you so much, Ray. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We had a lovely chat with Robert Grace before 4 o'clock. He's a TikTok music sensation from Gregnamana. We forgot to mention when he was here that he's taken to the road again this winter, and he's in the Academy in Dublin on Saturday the 19th of November. His fans will want to know that. And tickets are now on sale on ticketmaster.ie. And we played a bit of the song, which features his 6-year-old son, Lincoln. And now we'll play it in its entirety. Casper. Robert Grace and Lincoln Grace, age 6, and Casper. Connor Pope, aged?
In my 50s. Let's just leave it at that, Ray.
In your 50s, right.
That'll do, Ray.
Pricewatch at RTE.ie. We've loads of questions for you on holiday insurance, because we sort of half dealt with it a few times.
We have done.
But we're going to immerse ourselves in it today. But will we deal with the other thing first?
Whatever suits you.
Yes, okay. And it's a holiday related one as well that came into us. Dear Connor, I've just come back from my holidays and feel like I was ripped off when it came to car hire. When I was at the desk, I was asked if I wanted extra insurance and I said no. Then I was told they'd have to freeze almost €1,000 on my credit card instead, So I took it out, as in I said yes. It cost me €30 a day, which worked out at nearly £500. Was I ripped off?
Yes and no is the answer to that question. Now, what happens when you take out car, when you hire a car overseas, and it happens to people who come over to this country as well, there's a certain base level of insurance that's automatically in place when you take out the car hire. And that means that if you write off the car, for instance, there's a cover there. Or heaven forbid, if you're in an accident and you hurt somebody, you're covered for that without taking out additional insurance. But there's always an excess on that policy. Now, that excess can be €500, it can be €1,000, it can be €2,000. And you're responsible for the first 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 euros worth of damage, right?
So they're minor.
But they can minor up to €2,000 or right, whatever it might be. So then what the companies do, and all companies do this, they will sell you what sometimes is called super collision damage waiver insurance or something like that, additional or extra insurance. And they will charge you a premium for it. Now, the reason why there's such a hard sell on this at car hire desks all over Europe and all over the world is because it's an extremely lucrative financial product for the company. Because when you think about it, they sell it to you and it's priced at €30 a day. So that's what, a 300, 420 quid or whatever it might be for a 2 week holiday. Now, most car insurance policies would probably cost around €400 or €500 or €600
for a year.
So they're getting, so if they're selling this super collision damage waiver insurance at that rate.
So then,
for
I
10,
think yes is the answer then.
Well,
I ripped off?
Yes and no. And I'll give you a personal right. experience of this. For a start, if you don't take it out, what companies then will do is they'll say, okay, well, we have to freeze a certain amount on your credit card.
Yes.
Because they have to know that if you come back and the car is dented,
scraped down the side,
or whatever it might be, and you don't have, you know, and if you don't have the cash to pay for it, well, then they're left hanging. So they freeze the money on your credit card. Now, freezing €1,000 for a lot of people, that might be a chunk of their holiday spending. So a lot of people are then faced with the reality of, well, do I pay €400 now and have access to the €1,000 I have on my credit card, or do I allow them to take? To freeze the €1,000 and not pay for it.
Okay.
And what it works, sometimes it works for people, sometimes it doesn't. What I would say to people is, if you're going to hire a car.
Well, hold on. Just before we carry on. So if they freeze the 1,000, if you have the luxury of doing that, and then you arrive back and there's nothing wrong with the car, it's cost you nothing.
It's cost you nothing.
Okay, as opposed to €500.
Exactly. But you haven't been able to use your credit card for that €1,000 for the 2 week holiday. Okay. And that might be make or break for a lot of people.
Okay.
I mean, so the important thing to remember is that to plan ahead, and to be aware of the fact that before you hit the car insurance desk, if you're not taking out the extra insurance, you're going to be hit with this freeze on your account. Yeah. So be prepared for it.
And so if you have a limit on your credit card, for
example, let's say if you have a limit of €2,000 and they freeze €1,000, well, then you've only got €1,000 to spend.
Yes,
and that could be impact your holiday. So just think about it in advance and put the money into your credit card.
If you could find €1,000 somewhere to put
into
your credit card.
Because the alternative is to spend €500 on car insurance that you mightn't need.
Yes.
Okay? So what you could do, but here's the thing. If you don't take out the excess waiver insurance, the super collision damage waiver insurance, whatever it might be, and you do something to the car, you have to pay for it.
Yes.
Now, to give you an example, we were in Spain a couple of years back, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and there was an incident with the car and a parking meter or a bollard, and there was about €900 worth of damage done to the car. Had we taken out the insurance, it wouldn't have cost us anything.
Well, it would have cost you
€500. yeah. But we hadn't taken out the insurance because my advice was to people, don't take out the insurance. So then my wife was looking at me going, well, if only we'd taken out that insurance, we would have been better off. So really it depends on whether or not you're risk adverse or how often you're going to be using the car, because that's going to be a factor. If you're just driving the car from the airport to a campsite and then maybe to a supermarket.
How comfortable you are driving in a foreign country.
So there's lots of, so I don't think the person was necessarily ripped off.
Okay.
But they did pay for something, and it's only really value for money to pay for something when you know what you're paying for.
Yeah.
And in some instances you're better off paying for it, in some instances you're not. It is a wildly expensive financial product.
Okay. Well, it's good that people know about that, isn't it? Okay, so holiday insurance in general then.
Go for it.
And I know you have a wealth of knowledge on this because we've touched on it before, so we offered up your wealth of knowledge to our listeners and they came in their droves. So let's get through as many as we can. Good afternoon. We're travelling to Scotland in July and I'm wondering if we should get travel insurance.
Absolutely. And one of the weird things about people who travel to the UK from Ireland is they think, sure, I'm only going to London. Be grand. I'm only going to Scotland. And an awful lot of people say, if I'm going to the States or if I'm going on a 2 week holiday to Spain or Italy, I'll take out my travel insurance. But if I'm going to London, I'll be grand. You're just as likely to fall ill
or you're just as likely to have to cancel your holiday if you're travelling to Scotland as you are as if you're travelling to Nova Scotia.
Okay.
So take it out no matter where you're going.
Now, these are in no particular order, so we might be, you know, repeating ourselves. If you forget to get travel insurance before you head off, can you get it while you're when you're there?
I've never actually had this question before, but I did look it up. And the answer is yes, you can. But a lot of the time, travel insurance companies will impose a 3-day waiting period before the insurance policy kicks in. And that's to stop somebody being the victim of an accident, taking out travel insurance,
and then going,
oh, my Lord, I've been the victim of an accident, but luckily I've got cover. So if you are away and you feel like you need travel insurance, that means you haven't been listening to us because we've been saying you should have travel insurance, but you can take it out. But generally speaking, it won't cover you for the first 3 days after you take the policy out. So that's just be aware of that.
My 82-year-old mum is planning to travel to Canada this summer. Is there a better insurance company for her to use? She normally buys multi-trip, but told by agent she can only buy single trip. Is this because of her age?
Absolutely. There's a huge problem with age discrimination when it comes to travel insurance. And an awful lot of travel insurance providers will be perfectly happy to take your money up until the age of 70, 72, 73. And then you might reach the age of 74 and they'll go, yeah, no, we don't want your business anymore. And the number of companies that will offer travel insurance to people who are in their 70s falls and get smaller and smaller and smaller. Now, there are some out there that
do that. And as a result, the price goes up and up.
Well, the premiums will go up.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, obviously, the travel insurance companies just look at the cold, hard numbers and they say, well, you're statistically more likely to fall ill if you're X age than you are if you're Y age, so we're going to charge appropriately. But then when you hit older ages, 80, 81, 82, it becomes almost impossible or extremely difficult to take out travel insurance. And this is something that Age Action Ireland has been campaigning about and complaining about for a long time. So what I would suggest to this listener is they go to the Age Action Ireland website and they have a list of the companies that offer travel insurance to older people.
Great advice.
Because it's simply unfair to say to a fit and healthy 80 or 81-year-old who wants to go to visit her family in Canada that, you know, we're not going to let you go because you don't have travel insurance.
And just to reiterate the importance of holiday insurance, because if you are in Canada and you fall ill, America, it could cost you a fortune.
Well, like if you fall ill in America, it can be absolutely ruinous. And we all know how vigorously American healthcare providers chase the money. So if you have a mild heart attack in America and you don't have health insurance and you're in hospital for 3 days, you could be down €70,000. Or if you become seriously ill and you're 3 or 4 weeks in a hospital in the United States, you're talking about a bill that will quickly amount up to hundreds of thousands of euros, and they will hound you until they get the money. So for the sake of the 120 quid or 140 quid that a travel insurance policy will cost for a whole year for a family, it's absolute madness that people don't take it out.
Okay. And that's, you've just mentioned it there, but you can say it again. So for a year to take out holiday insurance for a family, it's about 100.
It depends. I mean, anywhere from 100 to 200 quid.
Right. Hello, Conor and Ray. Is the J1 insurance for a student going to work and travel in the USA this summer, or is there anything extra one should have? All advice very welcome, please, just to be covered for the stuff.
Well, I mean, when you take out the J1, you have to take out
health insurance.
You have insurance protecting you should you fall ill. But as I say, for the peace of mind, that should cover you, that should be sufficient. And for an awful lot of people, that's what they go with. They have a particular type of insurance that's linked to their J1 package, and that's all they need. And fingers crossed, that's all they need.
Why would they need something extra?
Peace of mind. And it's no more than that.
So what's excluded?
I don't know that. I don't know what the
limitations
are, because every single travel insurance policy has a different set of limitations. So I'm not sure what the excesses are, but I would look at them closely and say, well, you know, worst case scenario, what could happen? And I tend to be a catastrophist. So I would say, if it was my child, I'd go, well, listen, I might spend an extra 100 quid just to give myself the peace of mind that we do. If I need to get my child home in a hurry, I can do that because I have the insurance. But that's just me. The insurance.
You're in the right job.
They have the policy. What they have is probably enough.
Yeah. Is it better to have health and travel insurance with the same company?
It doesn't make a blind bit of difference. And that's the truth. Because a lot of, like for instance, VHI will sell health insurance and they'll also sell travel insurance. You can have your health insurance with VHI and you can have your travel insurance
with
the AA.
Do you get a deal?
They might offer you a small discount. Okay. But the reality is that a lot of the time when you're taking out travel insurance, they ask you, do you have health insurance? And if the answer to that question is yes, it doesn't matter what provider you're with, you're getting a discount for having
traveler for having health insurance, because the health insurance will cover you to a point. What the health insurance, or what the European Health Insurance Card, which is another thing that's worth mentioning, don't cover you for, are curtailment or cancellations, or indeed criminality, or if you're the victim of crime.
Okay, hopefully that was helpful. Thanks so much, and we'll be delving into your wealth of knowledge on another subject next week.
Thanks a lot, Ray.
Thanks, Connor. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your sunny Sunday evening.
It's the Ray Monday, Jersey
Monday, 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 Monday.